to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, greetings and a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Life. At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Once again, a warm welcome to all of you. Today is 22nd of October 2015 and today is the Vijayadashami day. So I wish all of you a happy Vijayadashami, happy Dasara. And today in Purnachandra Auditorium, we witnessed here at Prashant Nilayam the concluding day of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna, which started on 16th of this month. So it was a vibrant session, a Purnahuti session, and successfully the Yajna has concluded. Today also is the concluding day of the Sri Satya Sai Grama Seva, which happens every year for about 10 days. It started this month on 13th, and today the prasadam distribution is inside Prashant Nilayam Ashram by the Anantapur sisters. Well, dear listeners, the time right now in our studio is 12 noon, and it's a pleasant day here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. So, as part of today's segment, Service Love in Action, I'll be playing for you a conversation with Mr. Srinivas Prabala. He is the Chief Technology Officer for Infosys, but more importantly, he is a very active Psy youth. So, in conversation with him is Mr. Gene Massey. And after this conversation, you'll be listening to the afternoon session of today's Thursday Life with Prem and Arvind. So first let's listen to Mr. Srinivasa Prabala. In conversation with him is Mr. Gene Massey. Happy listening.
Sai Ram, Radio Sai listeners, this is Gene Massey at the Hyderabad Radio Sai Studios. And we have a very special guest this evening, Sri Srinivas Prabala, who is he's the Chief Technology Officer of Infosys, the financial services group, but perhaps more importantly, he's a longtime devotee of Satya Sai Baba, and his family, as a matter of fact, is many years with Swami, and his uncle is 101 years old and has been living at Bharti for 31 years. But Srini, as he likes to be known, is actually a music composer of over 20 albums for Swami. He's an expert in both Indian music and jazz, fusion music, and he's worked with celebrities like Balasubramanyam, Vani Jayaram, and Janaki. Srini, welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram, to everyone.
Thank you for being with us this evening. Now, I'm sure you have some wonderful experiences to share. First of all, that's what everybody likes to hear, is some experiences in your life that brought you to Swami or that have affected you, Swami's experiences that have affected you. And if you'd like to share any of those, we would certainly love to hear them.
Sure. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. I have great experiences with Swami and would love to share some of those stories. And it's a great opportunity for me. Like they would say, We talk about love, hate. I started with hate love with Swami. I would not be the one who would be loving him. And the irony is I'm hating a person who is manifestation of love and love himself. So I come from a family who have been with Swami for very long. My uncles and aunts have lived in Pattaparthi for very long. They've served Swami and had the pleasure of being very close to him for many, many years. Sometimes if you are too close to things, you may not like them. So maybe I am one of those, I didn't somehow like them. I was like, I don't know who the Swami is. Should I really go into him? And I always used to fight. So my uncle, who has been with Swami for many, very many years, taken part in huge projects with Swami, was trying to help me out, say, you know, Srini, you have to you see the bigger aspect of it, what Swami does. But the great thing about him was he would never influence me anything or say that this is what you should do. And he used to always say, Swami will bring you one day. There will be a day when you will come. He used to say that. And at one time I was working very close to him, and he was not in Puttaparthi at that time. This was quite a few years back. He was living in Mumbai in a very senior role. And I used to visit him often. He would say, you know, Swami will call you. When you are ready, he will call you. And so life passed on, and I was in India for a while. Then I went to US, lived there for very many years, for about 15 years in various places. And I was not very fond of Swami, though my family was into Swami, right? So I go there, and I see Swami everywhere. You see them in stores, in Indian communities. Most of my friends, because of my passion into music, they were all Swami's followers. You go to their houses, there are huge pictures of Swami. You go to stores who are unrelated to Swami. You go to an American, I think it's again Swami's Leela, right? I meet people. I met a guy who contested for Senate, and he was doing service at a old age home, which at that time we were working with for my corporate work, and then he was Swami's follower. So you would meet people who were doing tremendous amount of work, selfless efforts, and I was like, I was still not into it, right? But Swami would, you know, how he would pull you when he wants and when you are ready, like my uncle said, right? So time passed, and I used to help out the Sai Center there to some extent, but I was not into it. And then I had arranged marriage, and I got married. They were talking about a person who had learned music with me many years back, and then I said, oh great, and we talked, and it all worked out. And then she called me up, and we were chatting. In those days there was no Facebook, right? There was only email, and that too, we had limited access to email, and I was in the US and she was working in India. So she would write me emails, and one thing she wrote me, I remember, is that one thing very important for me I want to tell you is that I follow Swami. And I thought, oh my God, one more person. And I said, okay. And then I didn't want that to be a showstopper at all, because I didn't have anything against Swami, because I didn't know him either, because I didn't open myself to know about him either, right? So we got married, and she comes to US, and we try to settle in. And then in the first week she said, you know, because at that time internet was coming in, about 95, right? She did enough research, being a technologist herself, and she said, no, actually there is a Sai Center. I thought, oh my God, there's a Sai Center I have to go to now. And she said, you know, since I can't drive, you have to do this. And you know how it is with a newlywed wife, right? You will do anything for her. I said, okay. So we go to the Sai Center there. Actually, I got exposed to Swami, re-exposed to Swami in the US, though my family is into Swami. So it's ironical. I think life has its way of closing the circle and looping things out, right? So I go back, and then in the process, in fact, my wife shared a lot of interesting stories, how their family was into Sai. Their grandfather used to read Vedas. At that time, students used to not do it, but they used to have a set of people who do the Veda recitation. So her grandfather was one of those people. And then her Akshara Abhyasam, when you get initiated to education, all that Swami did. And incidentally, our marriage also, Swami blessed. So she would tell me all these things about how he manifested the Akshantalu, which is the yellow rice, and bless the card and all that. I'm like, I still was not getting it, right? I was not getting it. So I continued on that path, but I used to help out the Sai Center. And what was amazing for me in terms of the transformation many years back was that I got transformed by Swami's devotees. I saw them do selfless love, and I met amazing people, some amazing people who have never left, worked in the, or interacted in the past, because fortunately working in corporate roles with large organizations in the US, I interact with senior people, I interact with CEOs, but I've never met people like this. I have never met people who didn't care about what they were doing, but they were doing it. They were doing it out of love. And I was like, where are these people coming from? And it all pointed to Swami. It was him. And I think, like Swami said in many of his interviews and messages, I think you are you carry my message. You are the messengers of my message. And I think those messengers changed me. Eventually, I reconnected with my uncle, and I think I interact with him a lot. I love him for what he has done and what he is for us. But he's also very happy that I'm actively into Swami. But that's my brief journey. There are many more interesting stories, but I just wanted to take a pause here.
No, I think it's great. We all have, believe it or not, similar stories. I was with Swami for a number of years before I really fully accepted him, having been born a Christian, you know, and it's an interesting thing, but we have a joke in America that Swami gets all of his guys through ladies.
Yeah.
So it's pretty common. But let me ask you some very good questions about in particular the things that you saw inside devotees, because I too have observed the same things. That they're not ordinary people, and they have so much love in their hearts. And where do you think they get that? How do you think they are transformed into these loving beings? What is it that does that?
I think that's a great question. I have been grappling to get the answer for many years. I think the point you're trying to make is, how do people get the love into them being a Sai devotee? How are they transformed? Where is all the love coming from? It's been a great question for me. I've been trying for years to find the answer, but I feel it's none other than from Swami himself. I have met, fortunate to work across the globe, across the geographies in US, in Europe, in Australia, and many other geographies. And then whenever I get a chance, we go to a location, we always look for where is the Sai Center, right? We go and meet the Sai Center. Most recently, we went to Sydney, just a few months back, and we go to the Sai Center, we meet people there. And everywhere, I see one thing very special about them is they are full of love. They are very different. And I have met people who don't look like me. They are not Indian origin. Most of my friends who have come through Sai families are non-Indians. And we, for example, we lived in San Francisco. San Francisco Center mostly has only non-Indians. We used to be the only Indians in the center doing bhajans. And I was like, this group, which is very rarity, right? You go to a Sai center, there will be a decent population of Indians. So I think one thing which I found with them, I worked with, for example, in Bay Area, a person who used to be a personal assistant for CEO of Sun Microsystem. Hugely organized, build large organizations, corporate ladder, Scott McKinley, I think his name was, and worked in corporate world. Very corporate type person, executive assistants in a large CEO organizations, and she used to run the center there, for example, in San Mateo where we lived for a very long period. I think Swami has the power. You come to him, he changes you. He makes you full of what he is. He is full of love. He makes you change you into that. And then you feel that the step you make towards him, I mean, you enter Puttaparthi, you look at his picture, you get that. And in technology, we use this word called double click, right? If you look at Swami's picture, you see a person with long hair. And if you walk away, you are doing the single quick click of Microsoft. That won't help. You have to do double click into yourself and double click into Swami. And then you see the God himself with not long hair but long hands welcoming you full of love. I think that effort is where I took my journey, needed that time, the maturity needed. Same thing with all of us who struggle to get to Swami. It's about that effort. And I saw that in the people there. They have also struggled. Many of them, they're not even of Hindu origin. They are of different religions. I've met people from Islam, from Christianity, Jewish people. And then they moved towards Swami because they got that effort. They made that effort and Swami gave them the opportunity. It's, I think, bidirectional.
Since you're on that subject of the multi-faith aspect of the Sai organization, could you talk a little bit about how Swami doesn't expect you to become a member of his club or something, or give up your current faith, but that he really actually encourages you to go back to your own faith and worship there? Can you talk a little bit about how he accepts all faith?
Right, I think the greatest aspect of Swami about what he says is to accept your own faith and be a good Christian, be a good Hindu, be a good Muslim. I think that is one thing which touched me. And in a world where we are living with so much animosity against each other, we see social chaos, we see that everywhere, we see the wars being waged. And in a world where there is so much turmoil, Swami's message is extremely key on that one point of secularism and secular thinking, where we have to look beyond our own religion and look at human beings as to what they are made up of. They are all same, same blood, same values, same thing. No religion has ever said that. That's what Swami says, right? No religion has ever said to be a bad Hindu or a bad Muslim or a bad Christian. Be a good human being, then that's all matters. And I think that is the value which I saw and I was able to experience in all these people. The greatness about some of the people I've met, for example, just a few months back, I did a long stint in, last year I did a long stint in Phoenix. The center there is headed by a Jewish person. And then she was telling me repeatedly, I am a good Jew. I follow all the Jewish principles, but I'm running the center for, I think, for 20 years or 18 years, I forgot. And she was able to look, and one thing she told me which changed her compared to any of other family members is that she says, now I don't look at Srini Prabhala, I don't look at that Sam and say, oh, he's a Catholic, he's a Hindu. I look at them as a human being, which is one thing which Swami has made me look at, and look at human beings as what they are, and love them, and give them what you should give them, which is love, which is what he gives to us.
What would you say, of all the teachings of Satya Sai Baba, what would be your favorites or the ones that have influenced you the most?
Swami's teachings, the great part is they're very simple. The messages are very simple, but they're very profound. In my room in the office, I have simple teachings which he has. Help ever, hurt never, all the things which we give to others with those small quotations. And I am continuously on phone because I work in global team. I manage a large global team across the globe, US, Australia, Europe being the main hubs. And then I'm always on a voice over IP phone. And I have Swami's picture there with some of those quotes. So it's as simple as help ever, hurt never. Whenever I'm talking, I look at that. And somehow that gives me immense power in a corporate world where we live in extreme competition, where dog eats dog, you have to fight it out, it is your career, it is your growth. That is what our goals are set for, our performance management systems are set for. Whereas whenever I look there, I don't care. I would say I don't care, and that I do that with my colleagues, with my peers, or people who report to me, or with my clients, which has been a great win. Recently, I was talking to a large company, which is a client of ours, and he needed some help. He was calling me from US, and that had nothing to do with my office work. That would not get me $1 million project or anything of that sort. But he has called me. Then Swami's photo was right there, and I thought, I don't care. I don't care. I went over and above, and I was going on and on for an hour, and I said, you know, you should do this. He was trying to come to India, and I was trying to help him, saying, do that. There was another management person who generally listens in from client relationship perspective in the call. He called me back immediately after that, and he said, you know, Shini, I think you did a great job. You were helping him out and all that. Somehow these things don't take us anywhere. I don't know where all this will go, yaar. But good you did that. And it passed. And that guy actually visited us last month. And one thing he told my boss was that one call. Though we have done big things. When he told me that, you know, this person went over and above to help me, he didn't have to. I didn't sign anything, but that gave me the trust and confidence to work with him. But I know that I got that confidence and that power to do that only through Swami, because Swami says, help ever. Don't worry about politics. Don't worry about organizational stuff. So I think values which Swami brings like that can be applied to corporate world, can be applied to what we do in our work life. A lot of people question that, but I think it has helped me using those concepts be a better human being, because it's about being a better human being. It's not about a better boss or a better performer. You will be. If you are a better human being, all this will happen.
Tell us a little bit about your music. You're quite an accomplished composer and musician, and you've worked with some extraordinary talented people. Tell me, is it Swami that inspired you to make the 20 albums of Sai music? That's quite an accomplishment.
I think Swami has completely inspired me to create those albums. I think Swami has made me tune those albums. There is no way I would have done that work. I was very, very fortunate. I worked in the US for quite a while. I worked with various bands, American bands, Indian musicians, some of the best in the world. But I returned back to India after many years of stay in the US. And then when I came back, I really did lost out my contacts in India. I had worked with some of those great people in the past, but since my long stint in the US, I lost out in terms of the connection. But you know what? Swami will take care of that. And I didn't believe it at that second, maybe for a second. I came back, and then suddenly a friend of mine who runs an orphanage here, she knew a lot of people here in Swami's fold, and she said, you know, we are doing a great show in front of Swami. You should come. And I by that time, I was the morphed self, not the original self, right? So I said, yes, when do you want me to come? So she said, you know, we are having a meeting, you should come. And you know how Swami devotees are. They would start 6 p.m. would be 6. So I go there, and everybody was there, and they were planning. And I met a lot of friends. I met a lot of my friends who, I was surprised. I met a friend called Shivakumar, who was my friend from the past, but he was not a Swami devotee at that time, but he was there. I met a lot of friends there in that meeting. So Swami will connect you. So I met a lot of people there, and then they said, you know, we need you to make an album. The two objects, we'll do a show, but we want to sell the album so that we can make that. And the best part was, Swami will release your album. I was like, no, what am I hearing? Am I hearing the right words? He says, no, Swami will release the album. I said, okay, great. Nothing can beat that opportunity. So I took a lot of effort. I worked with some of the best people who could perform, and we took, this was my first album, of course. So I made that album. We go there, and generally, Swami decides, right? Whose album he would release, who would get a chance. Nothing is in our control. You go to a show, it may never happen. We never had any problems. I never had any problems. Very rarely I had some issues. Actually, I had done way more than 20 shows, but about 20 albums were released. But without exaggeration, I would have done about 40-50 shows in front of Swami. So I'm very fortunate. I have to say that out of my fortune and luck which Swami has given me. But this show, I didn't have any problem, and then I was not sure when will this release thing happen, because I had to give it to him. There was nobody will give it to him. I kept telling to the organizer, I have to give it to him. Then he said, no worry, you'll get that chance. The show ended, and this program ended, and you know, they'll give you a nice picture, and Swami will always shower his love with clothes. All that happened, right? I'm like, album, where is the album? Where do I get close to him? And I wouldn't ask. I would keep quiet. And Swami would watch, and he would laugh, and he would leave. So I thought, okay, that's fine. Swami will give me one more opportunity. And I had to stay back the next day. And the next day, Swami had built a smaller temple in the Dinajanodhana site, Ganesha temple at that time, many years ago. And then he would come, and he was doing the yagam there. And Swami blessed us with innumerable gifts. Releasing the album was the smallest thing, but you know, I mean, when you do a yagam, some couple has to do certain rituals. The couple who were supposed to did not show up. The organizer said, you both are there, what are you doing? So my wife and I went, and we did that, and all this was happening in front of Swami. So we were graciously blessed by him. And after that, a person who was conducting all this told me, you know, it's very tough to talk to Swami. I mean, I don't know what you will do, but they tapped it beautifully, all those. They put a 9 CDs, and they packed it beautifully with rows and all that. Said, you know, go give it to Swami. And now, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. I know. And there was an ego in me. So, you know, I do it all the time. I talk to a lot of people, you know. So I do that, right? So that ego was with me. And I can talk to him. So I was going there, and I go to Swami, and he was sitting there, and he said, yeah. And I was speechless. There was this aura in his face I have never seen anywhere. I touch his legs, because he said, can I do Pada Namaskar? He said, yes. and I touch it, they were like lotus. When people say lotus legs, lotus feet, I never knew they really meant they were lotus feet. Then I was awestruck. And then there were like 30, a bunch of people around us. They were like, you know, guy, what are you up to? Mohan, his time is precious. He'll go. You have to talk. And the person, because she was a woman and she was a little farther away, she was trying to say, and I couldn't talk. I couldn't say a word. I was just looking at him, awestruck. And then this lady would say, you know, what he wants to tell is, she told the whole thing. And I was like, yeah. Swami smiled and he opened it and he took the CD out and he gave it to me. And I asked Swami that, Swami, I want to do a lot of music. I want to do a lot of music about your life, your glory. He said, sure, tapakunda bangaru. And I thought, yeah, he said that, let me see. And you won't believe the number of opportunities he gave me. And some of those opportunities helped me grow as a human being, more than as a musician. I think Swami gave me the gift. I play multiple instruments. I can sing decently well. But I don't take pride in that. I think that is Swami's gifts to me. But he let me interact with some of the best musicians, best talented human beings across his devotee fold. Because I used to compose Swami's when they do this Patti Yatra shows, so I did for a bunch of them. So I get to meet hundreds of people, actually thousands of people and hundreds of kids to train them. And I think that is one thing Swami gave me as an opportunity to train and groom people about Swami's values. And I see their smiles when they take those pictures and when they get those rings and the gifts. And the pleasure I used to get each time was nothing, and that was bliss. So that was my musical journey with Swami.
Well, you know, we all have been at one point very sad about Swami's passing. And I'm wondering how that affected you. And many people have said that they have taken up Swami's mission in greater earnest, and that he's really not gone anywhere, and that they are feeling very much in their hearts. And I wondered what you have felt since Swami's passing.
To be honest, I think it was very tough for me. I was not in the country when Swami passed away, when he left us physically. I was in Netherlands, and the only way I could watch all this happening was through the internet. And thankfully in Western world, the internet works very well. And through connections through my wife and family. And I was a little disappointed that I was not here, but I could not come. I was in a mission. And always Swami says that is more important. Your work is more important. And then it was really sad. Honestly, I had a very traumatic experience. But then I was able to come through it only because of Swami. I think each time I close my eyes, I see him in front of him. I see him in the picture. He is able to guide me. He's given me opportunities, reminding me that I think I'm there with you. After actually Swami passed away, I've been made the anchor sponsor for the corporate social responsibility for financial services vertical of Infosys. It's the largest vertical with about 35,000 employees. And through that, I get to control, if it is not the bad word, I get to make an impact. I can get to contribute to people's activities across the globe. People who are in part of my vertical doing social service, they may not be Swami related to Swami's work, but I get to make an impact to people across the globe. So I create charters for them as to what they do, and all this happened in the recent past. And I strongly think Swami has been giving me those opportunities. He knows that I'm running around in various things, but he has given me those opportunities where I could contribute, I could help others get inspired. And funnily enough, I also drive the Hyderabad activities of corporate social responsibilities. We have a huge campus in Hyderabad with about 18,000 employees. And then some of the orphanages and schools I work with are all Swami schools. It just happened that we picked certain geographies. It was not driven by me. I'm sure it was driven by Swami, where we picked certain geographies where we had those schools. For example, we operate in Kukatpalli and Gachibowli areas, which are closer to our office. We wanted employees to have easy access access to those schools. And we have Swamis, devotees who run activities there. So we go there, we go and do social work there in various capacities which we can, either helping younger people to pursue career paths, learning better English, computing skills, things like that, helping them be better human beings and better entrepreneurs is what I like them to be, where they can create now ease rather than build careers for themselves. So all those opportunities, I think after Swami passing away, he was there with me to give me those opportunities to make an impact.
In closing, would you like to give a message to the young adults of the Sai organization in India as to what you think they should be doing now? Because you're a young adult and you're working in Swami's mission. Do you have any thoughts to share with them?
I think one thought I have, I'm sure, for young adults to pursue Swami's mission is belief. Believe in Him. I think He's there. He's there with you. He's there with all of us, supporting us in our day-to-day life activities. Complete surrender. Sharanagati, as they would say in Sanskrit, which is what great music composers like Tyagaraja, Annamacharya have written. Beautiful songs where they have talked about that is the only means to reach Lord. So to reach Swami is surrender and belief in Him that He is there with us, working on His mission and working on every single opportunity where you can talk about His glory, every single opportunity where you can work on His mission is a mission given by Him. I feel that my opportunity to come to the studio was a mission given by Him. I was supposed to come to the studio. I was helping the guy set this up, but somehow I couldn't come. I was telling my wife that I wanted to go to the studio, but it didn't happen. But I knew that through you, thank you so much, that I know He wanted me to come here, and that I think my being here is a boon. The young adults, to be young adults in Swami's organization is a boon. It's a blessing which they got. Without a normal human being, I want to differentiate normal human beings here, maybe that is unfair, but for all of us it may not be possible to get that blessing. So the power of blessing. Swami's devotees are great people. Leverage them, learn from their experiences, learn from what they bring to our lives, learn from what they have done and how Swami has influenced them, and complete surrender to Swami is what I would say is my message, humble message.
We want to thank you so much for being here this evening in Radio Sai's Hyderabad studios. We wish you continued success in your music career and in your work with Swami. And Srini, we want to thank you again for being here. Om Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, thank you so much for this superb opportunity. Thank you to both of you.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy! Happy, happy, be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy, God will be happy.
Saishwaraya Vidmahe.
to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.